Welcome to the podcast that explores mysterious disappearances, bizarre worldly occurrences, strange phenomenon, and basically everything that's weird. Welcome to the podcast. Everything that's weird. We're your host Brandon Anthony, our researcher Mario, and tonight we're going to Toronto, eh?
bad luck for the Canucks.
Tonight we're talking about the murder of Barry and Honey Sherman. I heard this stat, I don't know if this is true. They're the richest people to ever be murdered,
man. It seems like that could be a real possibility.
It does. I don't know if somebody just threw that out there, but he was a billionaire worth $4.7 billion and ranked as Canada's 15th richest man.
Well, wasn't there a Rockefeller that...
Yeah, but he wasn't the main Rockefeller, and he just went missing.
Yeah.
He went missing in Papua New Guinea. Right? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, and he probably was eaten.
There's another theory that says that he became part of the tribe. Do you see that?
Right. Yeah, the photo with him.
Yeah, the white guy?
Yeah, the one white guy savagely attacking anybody that got near.
Oh, shit.
He's like, all these women got their titties out all the time. Get away, this is my hood.
Okay, so Barry Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
He is a really smart kid. He goes to university, as they say in Canada, when he's like 16 and graduates.
Yep.
He ends up getting his degree and going to MIT. And after he gets out of MIT, his uncle owns a company called Empire Laboratories. So his uncle was kind of like his father figure because his dad had passed away when he was young.
Yeah.
So his uncle sort of took him under his wing, and he learns at Empire Labs, he learns how to make generic drugs. So this will come into play later because they didn't really go into the process of how they do this, but my guess is with any kind of copyright or patent, you have to change it so much of a percentage. Yeah. I believe it's 30%.
Fonts. You can create fonts, and you can just take another font, and as long as you changed it 30%.
Right, is that what it is?
Your font. So I always just went by that 30% because of that. So yeah, it sounds right, because they used to tell us in college that if you took a font and changed it 30%, you could call it yours and name it whatever you want.
That makes sense, because like there's certain fonts like Marlboro font. I know one time our band in LA, we did a flyer and we took all these brand names and had our band name instead of the brand. Mm-hmm. And used their font. And it looks like no matter what you put for Marlboro, it looks like Marlboro. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it does make sense. And I don't know what exactly the percentage is for pharmaceuticals, but he really does well, and his uncle kind of ends up letting him run it, but then his uncle ends up dying, and he takes over, and there's some sort of agreement.
Well, he had to buy the company.
Right, but there's some sort of agreement that's made.
Yeah, he buys the company from the family estate. It's there's an agreement that would allow for his children to buy in 5% each.
So his uncle has four kids. So he ends up selling Empire to a group in some sort of transaction, and Empire's gone. And he starts a company called Apotex.
Yep.
So Apotex is gigantic.
Yeah, they got Big Quick.
They got Big Quick, and they kind of started off where he left off. And I saw a few interviews with him. Mm-hmm. This guy is like, you know, as far as like in the courtroom,
Maverick.
He is. And he makes like he's been sued so many freaking. He has in his office lines and lines and lines of lawsuits.
Yeah, with he's got just stacks of paper everywhere.
Stacks of paper is like, it looked
all
like
litigation.
All it looked like about 150 different stacks of paper that were all different litigation for different things.
Yeah.
So he is killing it, right?
Yeah, because that was all Big Pharma coming after him for all what? that was all the copyright, like what you were talking about. They were suing him. Most of it was like over him stealing their stuff.
Absolutely. And then he ends up, so he's married to this lady, Honey, who she's a philanthropist, and she's very well known in, they're Jewish, so she's very well known in this community. And they actually, the one video I saw, it's from Canada's Dateline, and it shows his funeral, and there's, I don't know, man, thousands?
Everyone.
Yeah, like a lot of
like
people
the
were there.
Queen died.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. And
Justin Trudeau was there.
Right, and they both were very influential in donating to different causes.
And political campaigns. Including the guy that was there at their funeral.
Okay.
That was another thing he was going through, was investigation. He was opening up the books for investigation into illegal campaign financing.
Right. That is true. I was getting there. But yes, you're right. And right around the same time, he had been bankrupt. So the kids, his nieces and nephews, were really bad off when their dad died.
His cousins.
You're right. Sorry. His cousins.
Yes.
His cousins. They were really bad off.
Yeah, they were much younger.
And they had, like, some substance abuse issues. They were all dealing with it, right? And none of them really had any money. So...
Yeah, because the business wasn't doing well before he bought it and for himself and started running. From what I understand, the business was failing at the end there because he had gotten ill and died or passed away, and the business was inevitably failing, and he stepped in and he bought it and turned it around and sold it.
But the cousins didn't know that they were entitled to this 5% each, right?
Right.
So he sells Empire, starts Apotex.
Because I'm not sure, do you know how old, I'm not sure if maybe Mario could look that up, how old they were when he bought that company.
Because
I think they were like, I think they were younger, you know, they were, but I'm not sure how young.
Empire, 67, he's born in 42, so he was 25. Yeah, so, when's he start Apotex? He's 25 when he's working at Empire.
Yeah, but his cousins were much younger.
Much younger, yeah.
So they were like young kids when their father passed away, and so they didn't have any clue about finance or anything like that, and then their lives just came to kind of spiral downward. They didn't have money, and they got hooked on drugs and heroin, stuff like that, real bad I know the one, Carrie, he smoking crack and shooting heroin and everything.
Okay, so 72 is when he started Apotex. So he's 40, he was 30.
Barry was, right?
No, Barry was, yes. Barry was 30.
Yeah.
So he starts Apotex, and then the cousins, they kind of hit him up. They don't really get along. And, you know, they're kind of mad about the Empire thing before they even know that there's, like, disagreement. So they're why were you the...
Carrie said on an interview that one of his brothers called him and said, "Hey, man, you know, we got this..." They didn't realize, like, once he bought the company, they were out of touch with him. And he was like, "Hey, man, do you know we got this billionaire uncle?"
Right. And he started with our dad.
Talking to him.
So he's like, "Okay, what do you want to do?" And he's like, "I don't know. I've always wanted to be a contractor." He's like, "Cool. Buy some houses. I'll give you money. Whatever."
Yeah.
So he did. I gave him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And this guy
got around like 300 grand and then millions. Next thing you know, it's 5 and 6 million.
Right. And he was never profitable, this his cousin.
Admittedly,
right. So then they find out.
Kept doing it. Kept giving him. He'd extend his line of credit. And he would make him sign. Every time he said he'd make him sign a promissory note to pay it back.
So then they end up getting wind of this agreement that he's owed 20%, and they are pissed.
Yeah,
they're like pissed off, and they sue him.
Mm-hmm.
They full on take him to court and sue him. So this is where it gets crazy. So he's sued by everybody, this Barry guy. He's worth a ton of money. Apotex is like going off. He's fighting with his cousins, who he sort of isn't in contact with. The cousins hate Honey. Because she's like, "Why is he giving you money?"
Yeah, she really grilled him one day when they came in the house.
She's like, "Who the fuck are you? Why are they giving you money?
How much is he giving you?
Right.
What are you doing with it?"
The cousin says, Barry tells him, "I want you to kill my wife. I hate her. I can't stand her."
Yeah.
So he says, "All right, if you want me to do it, there's like no turning back. If I pull the trigger, that's it." And he's like, "No, don't do it. Hold off." Well, then, on the day that this happens, they're planning a new build of another mansion, and they're selling their mansion.
Yes.
And their mansion...
This is the best part.
It is, right? Their mansion's big.
Yeah.
It's got a swimming pool in the basement. It's a pretty laid out pad.
Mm-hmm.
So they meet with the architects at Apotex. They go home, and the next morning, everybody shows up that's like runs the estate, you know? And the cleaners, the gardeners, all that. And there's people in the middle of looking at the house to buy it. and the realtor walks into the pool.
Look at the area. Indoor pool area.
And they're both, they both are hanging from railings facing away from the pool, and they're restrained, and they're both dead.
And fully clothed.
Fully clothed. She has a
and bruise. The realtor said they were in weird positions. She was showing the house, and she brought the clients down to the basement to show them the in-ground or the interior pool. And she says at first when she saw them, she was just was surprised that they were home. She didn't realize that they were dead. And they were in like a weird position, and she was like, "That's." And she said she thought that's odd. It looks like they're doing yoga in their clothes because of like how they were posed. I mean, they were like held up by the belt on a railing, but they were like posed. Apparently, like there's a sculpture in the basement, like a avant-garde piece where there's two people sitting next to each other, and they were posed like that statue.
So,
okay. So they didn't buy the house.
You know, we're going to keep looking.
We're like, hey, how much is that? I'd be the guy that'd be like, so we're going to get a little discount here?
So why don't you tell the owners we'll come in at $2 million? Oh, you can't tell. Okay, so police come, and at first they think it's a murder suicide.
Yeah.
And when they question the cousin who hates him and has this lawsuit against him, the first thing he says is, "Wow, he finally did it."
Yeah.
Implying that Barry wanted to kill his wife all along.
Yeah. And to this day, he still believes that he killed her and then killed himself.
So then they have four kids. And their four kids do their own investigation with a private investigator. And they do a second autopsy. And the second autopsy says it's a double homicide.
Yeah, because they found ligature marks that look like they had been tied up at some point with zip ties. They'd also proved that Honey had been killed in a different part of the house and drugged to the pool.
She had, like, bruises on her face.
Yeah, and they said her cell phone was in a, in one of the bathrooms that she never used.
Like when they go,
they believe that maybe she had hid from her the assailant, and he had found her, and then that's when she was killed and then dragged down to the pool.
And when they go over, like, you know, it had, because it had surveillance.
Yeah.
And when they go over the surveillance, they see the only thing kind of out of the ordinary is this one guy walking. You know, it's Canada, so he's completely, you know,
yeah,
hat, coat,
yeah,
walking down the street. That's like right at the time when they die.
Yeah. And you know, he had a lot of enemies,
and we'll get to that next. But yes, there is that part of the problem. Is there's not a shortage of people that want him dead.
Right.
Admittedly. Mm-hmm. Out in the open, people are like, oh, I hate that guy. And I feel like that.
One of his friends even said that he had often talked about it. Like, I'm surprised they haven't tried to kill me already. So the point was they had been doing stuff to him. They had been fucking with him.
He said he thought they were trying to off him and make it look like, mm-hmm, a suicide.
Yeah, his buddy said that they were trying to do shit like they got caught like trying to like plant kiddie porn or cocaine on him and stuff.
Right.
like just to take him out like socially, you know, because your social status in Canada is a big deal.
So as of right this second, there is no motive or prime suspect. They have a bunch of people that are of interest, but in a weird twist, like I guess a year ago, they said due to some treaty with Canada, a foreign country has said that there's information about this murder. All right, so there it is. Billionaire. He leaves a huge wake behind him. Him and his wife are found murdered in their mansion. There are not a shortage of suspects or people that want him dead.
Yeah, because if you look at this, how like, if you take away the pharmaceutical part of what he built himself as was. They were philanthropists. They gave lots of money away. But they had,
yeah, it's like they had, didn't they say like 200 and something million?
Yeah, and they gave like 50 million away one time just to some Jewish organization or something like that. And,
right,
and then they did there was another 50 million for something else. It was they did it a lot, and so. They were like, you know, you see like the funeral, it was because there's like all these benefactors of their millions, you know.
And yeah.
They also looked like this generic drug company that was trying to get cheap drugs for people, and they were taking on Big Pharma.
That is something I didn't mention. They were like, we're helping the little guy.
Yeah, they say that, you know, we're helping the little guy. But if you talk to like the people that were close with him, he was
greedy.
He was pretty ruthless.
Right.
So
all right.
Let's get take it how you want to.
let's get into some facts.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So first of all, you can't make $1 billion without somebody hating you.
Right.
let's just say that like right off the bat. Even like Steve Jobs, and I never thought about it like this until Bill Burr was like, fuck Steve Jobs. What did he do? And Conan's like, I mean, the iPhone and the iPod. He's like, he didn't make that. He's like, he's just a guy that yelled at people and told him to make it smaller. And then if you know anything about Bill Gates, Bill Gates
stole it all from Xerox.
Holy shit. The amount of shit that he stole and leveraged against people. And when they had the whole antitrust where he, the monopoly case. So he had leveraged the paying systems of a bunch of people and bankrupted them by essentially stealing their software.
You know what? We could do a whole podcast on Bill Gates, too.
Right. And then he had the balls to say, from now on, I get 10% of everything. That would have meant everything that was sold online, he got 10%. Dude, he would be a trillionaire.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time, like, thinking, well, he invented that. Like, why can't... But then when I learned about it...
Shame on Xerox for fucking not realize what they were sitting on, I guess, but... Yeah,
but then when I went back and like heard it from a different perspective, I'm like, oh shit, man. Yeah, fuck that. You can't do that. And this guy, he did not make any friends. Anything that was, I mean, it's like saccharin.
So you get, it's like the same thing though, kind of ish, where you're like, you didn't invent that. Somebody else did, and you just pilfered it and sold it cheaper. That's
right.
You know, you're the guy selling knockoff watches on the corner.
Exactly. And your watches are really good. But, you know, to pass yourself off is one way. And that creates enemies, man. People do not like, people coming in and just fucking with their money. Yeah. Yeah, especially those big companies, you know. You get in front of, like, Johnson & Johnson.
There was a story of the guy that found diamonds in Canada. And if you listen, if you pay attention to that story, he was just like this independent guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was taking on the big diamond manufacturers, and he's like, I think there's diamonds in Canada, but he was doing this kind of like on the down low, because he's like, if they catch wind of it, they'll come and buy out everything you're doing before you can get there. Like, you know, they'll buy up all the mining rights ahead of you. And so he was going out into the Canadian wilderness. He was looking for diamonds. He's looking for a specific type of mineral and stone that you find that's an indicator that there's diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that companies like De Beers had fucking, like, he said that one day there was a helicopter came in, and, you know, and he was like, am I just being paranoid, or is this helicopter looking for me? And so he hid. And the helicopter got real low, and as it got low, he could see into the helicopter, and there were armed dudes in the helicopter.
They don't even call it the diamond trade. They call it a cartel.
Yeah. So that's just very much real. Like, they will, because he's out in the Canadian wilderness, if they just, you know,
and so, then, you know,
buy up all the mining rights where he was located. And
so our soda has corn syrup, and the reason our soda has corn syrup and not sugar, like Mexico, mm-hmm. is because sugar is a cartel.
Right.
It's grown in certain places that's controlled by, like, a cartel. Mm-hmm. And they flexed on us on the price, and we said, fuck it, man, we'll do it out of corn. And that is 100% true. That's why Mexican Coke is better than regular Coke.
Yep.
Okay, so then you got the cousin who admittedly wants him dead. He's like, yeah, I want him dead. I hate that guy. Yeah, he's like, I didn't do it, but I would have. I would have.
Yeah, he
I
did the OJ.
He did. He did the full-on OJ.
Mm-hmm.
There's the guy in the park, in the driveway. On the surveillance.
Yep.
There's all kinds of weird people that he hangs out with. He's got this one guy that he hangs out with that, like, makes juice and makes movies, like bad B movies. This is weird. It's like being friends with me. He makes bad B movies. But then he also had, he got in trouble and for, like, a sexual assault, and he would always bankroll this guy, and nobody ever knew why. He's had several contractors that he fucked over building his various properties. One, they're just like, this is a disaster and blah, blah, blah. They end up paying them like a couple million bucks. And then, like,
really,
you said,
down stereotypes, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. I hate to say it. I hate to say it.
I think there's a name for all that stuff.
Have you ever seen, is it Justin Bieber? Roast?
Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart?
Yeah.
Martha Stewart was ruthless.
Yeah.
She's like, there's a name for that. What is it? Not African American rich. That was hard. then you have all these other companies, right? They're fucking pissed.
Yeah.
That are suing him.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you have that he hates his wife.
According to Carrie.
But
his kids will tell you a different story.
And the four kids are now fighting.
Yeah. Of course they are. There's money.
Yeah, and they're fighting over where to put the money, basically. Because they're supposed to be carrying out, you know, these philanthropic causes, but that's caused the division with them. The investigation hasn't really given anything. They've thrown some things out, and like I said at the end of the last segment, they've said that there's this foreign country that said through some sort of treaty that some information has been given to the police about this case specifically. I do watch a lot of abandoned stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's a lot of abandoned mansions in Toronto. I don't know why.
I think it's wild. Like, it blows my mind when I see some of them shows where they're walking through these, like, just masterpieces of houses.
And they just left them.
Yeah, just left them. They're just fucking falling apart. Like, you see all this woodwork and this crazy shit. And I've worked on mansions before, and I've seen some of the guys that come in and do specialty work and shit like that. You know, you see all these high-end details and shit.
So I'm a trim carpenter, and when I see all that inlay and all that trim and all the coffering and all the stuff, all the molding, I mean, they have, like, they'll have, like, you know, 20-foot tall walls, and then they have this giant, sometimes it's like 6-piece crown molding.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, the coffering on the ceiling has crown molding, and then
lighting on top of it.
And then there's chair rail and Douglas fir, and, you know, like, it's this crazy amount of woodwork for, like, one room.
Yeah, we did a house one time, and he had in his basement a smoking room, a cigar room, and he had those, you know, those systems that evacuate the smoke and filter the air and throw it back. He had two of those systems just for this one room, and the room was maybe, I don't know, 30 by 20. That maybe smaller than that, maybe 20 by 20.
Hmm.
And he had two of those systems for it because he said, I want 30 people to be standing in here smoking a cigar and you not to see smoke. And so to test it out, they fired up the system and he had all these fucking Cuban cigars and all that shit. Hmm. And he got all the contractors in the room and gave him a cigar to smoke. And we're all sitting in there smoking a cigar, and the smoke only got about 6-7 inches up above the cigar, and it disappeared.
That's pretty awesome.
It just disappeared. And but that room, it was trimmed out like you said, from floor to ceiling.
Right.
The walls were wood with all these inlays in them.
Yeah.
All this like detail work in it. But they weren't done by anybody there. They were actually removed from some old mansion that was being torn down.
That's
he bought
another
the whole
like,
room and right, it was reclaimed. Such detailed work. He claimed all that, and they had to reset that like a puzzle piece. It was like so the guys putting it back in were like masterful. You know what I mean?
So I had never done that before until I moved here. Mm-hmm. Somebody had bought some rooms from a place in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And they brought them here.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm like, oh, this is on the old house. He's like, no, I bought those from a house. I'm like, really? So like, we had to like, you know, you can't fuck up. Like, there's, yeah. There's no fucking up. Like,
yeah, you can't reorder it.
No, so like, you cut everything big and you kind of bring it. It takes forever, dude.
Yeah, because
you cut it big and you kind of bring it in till it's like exactly right.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. It's like this, it's like a 6-stage crown. So there's like, what I mean by that, if you don't know what that means, that's 6 different pieces from the wall to the ceiling. And I would say it was over like a span of like, I don't know, maybe 1.5 feet, like 18 inches. So it's like this giant crown. But when you have like 20-foot ceilings, you got to do shit like, you know, you got to fill up that space.
Yeah.
And it's got to look nice. And their place looked, it's stellar. Like, if you see it, it's very posh. Like, their house, it's very nice. I think it has since been bulldozed.
In 2019, it came down.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear a lot about her.
Mm-mm. No, because the main focus would have been him anyway. I don't think the only focus on her and why you'd even need to know about her would be from the idea that maybe it was a murder-suicide. Mm-hmm. Because what was she doing that made him so angry that he'd want to kill her and then himself?
And, you know, as far as being married goes, who knows about that? She could, like, not toast his egos the right way. You don't know.
Right.
Like, he'd be like, that fucking bitch.
Sounds like Bill Burr when he's talking about domestic abuse. He's like, you know, I know there's guys that just come home and you're like, what? Tuna casserole again? And they just start swinging.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
He's like, I know those guys exist. Is she buried under the prison? Fucking funny.
So
there was no history of domestic abuse or
no
arguing their kids, or fighting.
Their kids said they were very much in love.
Yes. The son did like a speech, and his speech, he said they were like lock and key. And what he actually said, he was like, by themselves, they're useless.
Yeah, I know. That's actually a pretty good line. Useless, that's a good line. That's a good line.
So he's like, said by themselves, they're useless, but together, blah, blah, blah. They unlock bus, their parts, blah, blah, blah. All that sappy stuff.
The guy in the video, I mean, I guess people were like, you can tell by the way he walks. I mean, he looks just like anybody else walking to me.
Yeah, they said he had an unusual gait.
I didn't think so. I think he looks like...
I don't know if anybody else... Everybody, I think everybody walks the same in cold weather. You know, especially when you're bundled up. Everybody's just kind of like waddling and fucking hunched.
Yeah. I don't know. There was one thing that I did read that he was being sued for $1 billion. Did you read that?
Yeah. Trying to bring that back up. According to his cousin,
he
was sued a lot. He had a lot of, he'd come to him and say, well, I won this one, or I lost this one, or I won this one, or I lost. And he said, I lost track of all his lawsuits because they were like happening all the time. And he'd win a bunch and he'd lose a few. And that was the thing about what the cousin said to him was I mean, for all intents and purposes, if you look at the cousin was getting, they got back in touch with him. He realized he got interviewed about him, and at some point, because he was, there was a recorded conversation with him saying, he's like, yeah, they came to me, there was drug abuse, they were hooked on heroin, Carrie was smoking crack, blah, blah, blah. He was like, and I wanted to help him out. He was like, so I asked him, what do you want? You know, what do you want to do? You got to get something, get your life turned around. What do you want to do? And that's when he told him he wanted to be a contractor. He always
said, well, fine.
I'll get you some capital. We'll get a house and you can start working on it.
Right.
And so, and he did. But he wasn't managing the projects well, and they were going over budget and stuff, but he was still trying to do it. So he just, and he said, and it turned from him, you know, financing his purchase of a house to flip, and to, he'd buy him a car, or he'd buy him equipment, or he'd buy him a work truck, or he'd buy him Ferraris. And he was like, and then he was like, but there was, he was like, always, he'd always make me sign these promissories. So he always made me sign these promissories. He's like, and I started thinking to myself, he's just trying to trap me. And I'm like,
yeah, or make money, bitch.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, that doesn't feel
so
like
he what thought,
he's doing.
So
I feel he, like what he's doing is, like, still giving you a sense of pride. Like, hey, earn the money, pay me back, and do good for yourself. You know what I mean? It's weird that it, like, his take on it was that, so that I had questions about that, like, right away. But either way, he also said that he started talking to his brothers and stuff, and they were talking about how he got the money, and he said, I just went and asked him, and I said, hey, cousin Barry, tell me about how you got my dad's company. And he said, well, and he was kind of going through it with him, and he said things didn't add up to what he was saying. It didn't really sound right. So they went and did some digging, and they found that original contract agreement that said that the four kids were entitled to buy 5% apiece of the original company that their uncle owned, that he bought from the estate after he passed.
So
they were suing him. They sued him for that. Like that. And that's,
and
that's,
it's important to know, though.
So the cousin that gets all this stuff, he's been given millions and millions of dollars. He's, even though he's failing, he's still given more money.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. And he says, this is bullshit. You lied to me. And he gets real emotional, and he says he called Barry and he said, you lied to me, didn't you? And he said, yeah. And he said that Barry admitted that he had lied to him and didn't tell him about the 5%. Now it was, and then this is,
I don't
the thing,
believe
they
that
sued him for the 5% apiece, which equals out to 20%. They sued him for
$1 billion.
$1 billion of his new company. And he lost. And not only did he lose, Barry countersued him
for
his legal costs. And he won that for $300,000.
And then he sued him for the money he had ceded.
Then he reclaimed all the promissory notes, which added up to something like $8 million.
So... okay, so it's important to say why they lost. They lost because they were entitled to Empire, not right. Apotex.
Yes.
And he had already sold Empire.
Yes. Dirty move, but yes.
In the 70s, right?
Yeah.
So he was already out of Empire. And
they would have had to move in, buy 5% of the company apiece. Then they would have shared in the revenue generated from the sale.
And I do get this. I do get this. Because here's the thing.
Okay.
If it's not I, you remember that children's book, Not I, Said the Cat? Not yeah. I, said, right? Who's going to help me harvest the grain?
Right.
Not, and they're all laying there. And not I, said the dog, not. Who's going to help me, like, you know, make it into flour? And, you know? And not I said, but then when the bread is made, they're like, well, who's going to help me eat the bread? And everybody's like, well, yeah, I'll eat the bread. So I do get that. Like, you didn't think it was important when it was time. And I don't know. I didn't see how old they were when their dad died. How old were they?
I want to say that they were very young.
They were very young.
I want to look that up, but I want to say that they were still kids.
I think they were too. Because they said orphaned.
Yeah, he said he was orphaned.
So
that's under 18.
Okay, so if they're under 18, I think he should do them a solid.
No way to know that there was that clause.
I think Barry should have done him a solid.
Yeah,
and probably put a trust fund together.
Yeah,
because dude, listen. When you're talking about billions, that's 1,000 million.
Well, you got to think about it this way. You know that clause was put in there because the uncle was, because he was looking out for his kids.
Absolutely.
So it would have been a negotiation thing with Barry, like, hey, listen, I want to make sure the kids are taken care of, so give them an option to buy in 5% later on down the road when they're old enough.
But you can structure trust funds for like payouts at certain times. So you can protect them from themselves basically.
Right.
And still be able to provide for them. So that you could buy them a house. You could have a trustee that makes sure that I do know a little bit about trust. You can have a trustee that makes sure they have a place to live and their bills are paid, right? Yeah. And they have like a block of money. He didn't do that. He didn't have a block of money for them set aside. No. Instead, what he did was like later, he kind of tried to make it up to him and throw him some money. And, you know, it's kind of low rent that he's seen.
Well, because he got asked about, apparently, like, after he had, like, bought the company, he didn't, like, he kind of, like, lost contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he didn't talk to him for years.
And he actually is quoted as saying,
like, cousins. Like, what do you mean? I got family all over the world that I don't see or talk to. You know, I didn't think anything of it. I abandoned them, but it was
what other family do you have
just
that
like any other family
started
member?
A business with them?
Yeah.
With, you know, your uncle that was their dad. Do you have other uncles who started a business with?
Right. And I was like, that's kind of crass, man. That's like, that's not
forgiven, like
kind of not what happened, you know what I mean? That's
forgiven, like $50 million to a charity.
Yeah.
At one shot. And, you know, like, I think I've even read since we've been doing this podcast. I mean, numbers like 500 million in donations.
Yeah.
So, like, when you think about 50 million, if they were kids, and you took that and you set it aside, you know, they have plenty of money.
Yeah.
You know, and without spending the principal, right?
Yeah.
They have enough money to live on comfortably. You have enough money to buy them a house. All their bills are paid. They have spending money. They don't have, like, Lamborghini, Ferrari money.
Yeah.
But, like, four of them, $50 million, $10 million each. You have never touching the principal. Really, never touching the principal. You have enough for a very nice house. Taxes, bills are paid.
Yeah. And you can go some vacations.
Yeah. So you have a very minimal effort. You can do okay.
Or you can get aggressive and make money on it.
Absolutely.
So, but the thing was,
or you can come to him. Probably, you know, you could probably appeal to his initiative in business and be like, "Hey, man, let's fucking make some money doing X, Y,
Z." And this is kind of my point. When I was saying was like, you imagine that there had to have been this intimate conversation between Barry and his uncle about taking care of the kids when he was gone.
It would have to. It would have to. because it would have to have, you would have to have that kind of relationship with him for him to say, kill my wife.
Yeah, if he did.
Right?
Say,
you either are that close or you aren't, right? You would have to, like, I wouldn't just, like, if I was going to kill my wife, I wouldn't just say that to somebody I wasn't intimately involved with.
Right.
You know, I would have to have something, some sort of relationship.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just be a cousin. You know what I mean?
So he's got the pharmacist, big pharma, wants him, wouldn't mind if he wasn't around. You got, he's got people that he screwed over. Because he's like, there's a pretty big trail of people that, like, outside of big farm, you know, that have been screwed over by him.
To like contractors,
even down to the people that were working on his house and stuff,
right?
Getting screwed big time because he was an aggressive, but like person in court. You know what I mean? He was very versed in it because he was being sued all the time and he was suing other people all the time. It was his wheelhouse. So even to the point where Terry, when he first started thinking about doing this lawsuit against him for that 20%, said that Barry looked at him and said, "Don't do this. I will win, and you will regret it." And he was right. And then you got all four kids that wanted him dead, you know. And he's got powerful friends, you know.
And so that adds a
unknown level, you know. Because when you have powerful friends, you get into powerful things. You know what I mean? That, like, other people don't know about, or it's not on the surface, or it's not talked about in the news or out to the media. But powerful friends bring you into worlds that, you know, the dark, deep recesses and corners that nobody sees.
Okay, don't sleep on the charities either. Like, those are held up by people. You have this relationship with them. You're essentially like their cash cow. And it's by all means, man. They're trying to maintain their organization as much as any corporation.
Right.
You know, like churches. Churches are pure charity. And I mean, like, there was that Danny Masterson, his trial.
Yeah.
I believe part of the reason he got convicted.
He got beat up recently. Did you hear about that?
I did. I think part of the reason his conviction held water was that they had full on proof that, like, the church, he had, like, hired the church because he gives so much money to the church. And the church had been, like, threatening these girls and whatever. And, you know, like I said, wherever the money is, people are always threatened by not having the money come in. So I just asked Mario when we were talking about all this, about what happens if you get sued in Canada and lose. So this is like a Trump thing. So if he got sued for $1 billion, so a lot of people think, and it's important to know this, you should know this, he's worth $4.7 billion, right? Okay, that's not like what he has in his checking account,
right?
So like, if you lose $1 billion, it's not like, oh well, I have 3.7. Right. Because that shit's held up in all kinds of stuff. You have financial advisors that come in and they move it into all these different places, mutual funds or whatever, real estate. And part of the thing with him, he had all these weird investments all over the place.
Yeah.
Which made it even harder for the investigators to kind of pinpoint who's coming after him, because there's all kinds of stuff going on with this guy, right? But apparently, so like in the United States, if you get sued, there's things they can do to get the money from you. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, it's like OJ. OJ never paid the Goldmans. He owed them $22 million, right?
Right.
He never paid them a dollar. He was able to keep his pension from the NFL because that's protected. And then, you know, any further earnings you do, they could probably, lawyers could probably come after it some way and seize accounts and things like that. But even that, it's really hard. It's more like, in order to keep a good name in the United States, you pay off your lawsuits.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had no intention of paying off this $1 billion.
Yeah. And I tell you right now that and because I don't know what happens to it, and I'm still unsure. I never got to see what happens. But Carrie Winters and the other siblings, they, before they died, owed him like $8.3 million.
Right. And that goes to the estate.
Well, at least Carrie Winter did.
That goes, so if you, so I do know, like, if you would hit the lottery, mm-hmm. if there's a lien against the estate, you have to settle all that stuff.
Yeah.
Before. So, like, say you hit the lottery for like $50 million, you take the payout, you get 26. Right off the bat, $8 million comes off and goes to that.
Right. So, do you know, are his kids going after that money that he?
I haven't read anything that they are.
Yeah. Like, I wonder if they, like, even remember. God, what it would be like to just, like, accidentally forget somebody owes you $8.3 million.
Well, because it's like your kid. So it's like your kids. So it's like your cousins' kids, which are like third cousins, right? It's not second. Second is like if you're a cousin and there's an uncle, right? Like. So your mom,
it's your cousin's child. You're the second cousin to them.
I thought it was third, but okay. All right. I thought you were second cousins to your cousin's child.
I think your cousin's child is your second cousin.
When you go a generation, they say once removed. So like your cousin's kids are your first cousins once removed.
San Diegans. San Diegoites.
Your kids and your first cousin's kids are second cousins.
Okay. All right. My kids and your kids are cousins. Mario.
Yeah.
All right. My kids, your cousin's kids, and your kids
are second cousins, right, Mario?
Correct.
So your kids to my kids' kids, to my grandkids, or what?
Cousins once removed? I don't know. It's another generation.
Okay.
Second cousins once removed, it would be.
Okay. They're friends.
So, you got the... Well, I'm just saying, how great of a life do you have where you could forget that somebody owes you $8.3 million?
Pretty like, good.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. He owes me a couple bucks.
Not bad.
Yeah.
You're doing okay. Pretty good. All right, let's get into what we think. Yep. Okay. Why don't you go first?
Okay, but I think we might get sued.
Disclaimer.
I'm like thinking about it, like, hey man, all these people like suing people.
quick disclaimer, everything that's weird, these are merely opinions. They are not based in fact.
Nope. We're a couple dummies and what we're saying is completely untrue.
As I'm saying this, I am wearing a propeller hat. I am okay. Not informed.
Having said that,
I love having said that.
I definitely believe Kerry Winter did it. Had it done.
Okay.
I definitely do. I mean, he's got that. There's no other reason, but other than he gives me that smarmy vibe that, like, he was a crackhead. He was a heroin junkie and a crackhead. And he got given this opportunity, and he was like, he had no problem taking all that fucking money. He was taking money, he was getting cars, he was getting all kinds of shit. That he made me sign promissory notes. So what, dude? You know what I mean?
You didn't even think twice
about it. You signed every damn one of them. You know?
He did. I agree with you. He's like, he made me sign promissory notes for money I borrowed. Yeah. You're like,
you think
he
gave you $1 million?
That's how it works, dog.
And I think it was like this looking that gift horse in the mouth scenario. And he took all that stuff. And then it was like, it wasn't enough because he was still failing. And he catches wind that there's potentially something there that was probably more to it. Like, he's like, you know what? You know, it's like that conspiracy where he's staring at, you know what? I bet you he screwed Dad over to get that company. Mm-hmm. You know, and they did some digging and they found that thing. And yeah, it looks like he did screw them over to an extent, you know, but it's like one of them things where they were just looking for this excuse to get more and more.
I think you said it in the first part that, like, and he actually says this in an interview, it was going to be insolvent if it wasn't for him.
Yes.
So
he said that it would have had, he said, yeah, because they were questioning him about this. I'm thinking it was a deposition recording that I heard.
That's what I heard.
So he was talking about, he was like, the company wouldn't have generated any value if they would have bought into it. And I, you know, we'd kept it. It was, if I hadn't bought it and then sold it, blah, 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 it would have been insolvent, like you said, and they would have got nothing. And so that's how he looked at it. So
okay,
he didn't look like I was screwing him over. But
can I just get devil's advocate with your theory for 1 second? Why would you kill the person that's giving you money? He didn't get cut off.
He killed him after he fucking lost the lawsuit to him, and then he recanted on all
true.
The money he
that's
owed him.
That's true. He
so
did.
You're looking
he
at
quit
a crackhead
that
owes somebody $8.3 million, and he's never been successful at anything.
But Mario, real quick, because I asked Mario this. Civil
you ever
laws.
A crackhead in the corner?
I have.
They get
a couple
desperate like a coyote, man.
Civil law in Canada, similar to the United States?
I don't exactly know how it is in the United States, but it's up to the creditor. So if you win a civil lawsuit, it's up to you to collect. And they said,
right,
like, you can do asset seizure, wage garnishment. But like, you,
but
say,
if, you don't,
if you have money all
so
over
they,
the place,
they can sit on their hands.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. No, he has motive.
He's got big time motive. I mean, $8.3 million worth of motive. I mean, and it's the other way around. It's not like he's going to gain it, but he owes it. And it's, I don't think, it's not like he's thinking, I'm going to kill him so I don't have to pay this money.
Okay.
I think he's just so furious that
to help, to help your argument,
screwed everything up. He blames him for it. He thinks he screwed his dad over out of his company. He's owed all this money. And not only did he not win that, he gets disgraced by getting asked to give all the money back that he was given and pay for the lawyer fees in the lawsuit he instigated.
So to help your argument, he also failed a polygraph.
Yeah. He did. And
when they asked him specifically about like when, how many times he asked him to kill her, when he asked him to kill her, if he asked him to kill her, he failed.
Yes. And then,
and the guy's like, he's fucking lying. And then like the guy that was like,
the best part, his lawyer has told him, because they were like, they tried to get, ask him if he'd agree to a polygraph about his involvement in their murder.
And they're like, no. But you're not the
like, let's not do that one. Let's not do that one.
But he did fail all those questions.
Yeah, when he was asked, because he, that was his immediate, like, it was like, that's the thing that got me, is he like got this immediate cover story. It's like that weak OJ Simpson shit. Look over here, you know, and right away he's given this, oh, he wants to kill her. He asked me to find somebody to kill her, you know.
Can I say, he did a fantastic job.
Because
they asked, no, they've asked from the FBI. Like, Canada asked the FBI to help them investigate this. Because they lived in New York. So they were, they had a residence in New York. So they were Canadian, American. They didn't, I don't think they had American citizenship. But the Canadian, whatever the Canada's FBI is, they looked into it, and it's deep, man. Like, nobody, yeah, he's obvious, but there's not enough to pin him to him. And if he did it, he was clever about it.
That's because he's a crackhead.
Crackheads are clever. Buddies. And he did say that, if I pull the trigger... I just think...
You remember OJ was saying, like, there's like a few people that actually did it that said the same shit. There was even a guy that killed his, like, some chick in an apartment building, and the news interviewed him.
Yeah, I saw that. Right? And he, so, like, goes and pale started, and she's dead.
He started saying, like, all these suggestions. I think it was this and this and this. And it's like, I always feel like the people that are like, I think it was this, this, and this. It's like...
Well, they say, like, one of the things is people try to make themselves present in the investigation.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to a lot of true crime when I'm working.
I know, right?
And, like, they're like, yeah, they try to, like, make themselves present. Well, the Delphi murders, like that guy, he called them and said, yeah, I was on the bridge. And they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, yeah, no, I was there. And they're like, all right, cool, man. And they never even said anything about it. Like, 3 years go by. They get a fresh set of eyes on it. And this guy's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. So, like, he goes and interviews him. They do this, like, investigation of, like, his buddies. They do, like, a digital investigation of his buddies. And they're like, holy shit, dude. They're fucking kid murderers. That's
yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
And he had already called them and said, I was there the day that, you know. So, yeah, people do. They do implicate themselves. They put themselves at the... He has no alibi.
They want to help out. They want to...
Yeah, he has, you're right. He has no alibi.
Somebody else
either.
That helped in a search of somebody that had been murdered. And he was in the search party. There was another. Oh, there's another story I read about that where he was part of, like, you know, where they do the chain gang search parties.
Yeah.
And he was part of the there. They were like, he was super helpful, and you know,
he's not over here, guys. Not yeah. over here by the yeah. oak tree not in the burlap here. Sack. We're good.
Right. Clear. So,
but
I, you know,
but
I,
you're,
I
mean, you're just, but what you were saying, he has no alibi either. I remember,
and it was
this
over
interview.
Dramatic. Like, his whole interview was completely over. He just starts crying about stuff. Like, and I called my uncle and I was like, "Did you screw me over?" You know, and it's like, it just seems so put on, you know what I mean?
But he also had no alibi.
Yeah.
He's like, I watch Netflix, I eat cereal. Yeah. And you're like, terrible alibi, bro.
Yeah, he could have totally done it himself.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think he did. I think he had somebody do it. I think he's got, like, you know.
So he's the one that made it happen.
I think he made it happen.
Well, he's super clever because.
And I think it was just out of anger.
Then why? Okay.
And I think that's why he tried to do the story, like, where he was like, hey, he asked me to kill his wife. And, you know, he was, like, trying to.
Murder, suicide.
Give it a thing. And then he was like, oh, my God, he did it. He killed her. And he killed himself. I knew it right away. And it's like, why would this dude, super successful, comes to work early, leaves work late. He's not. They were like, he was super involved. The last communication he had was an email to the company. Like he does these normal emails every night where he emails like the top people with some briefing or some, you know, rah-rah speech or some shit. You know what I mean?
So real quick, Mario.
Yeah.
Either you or our brother played baseball. What's up? Don't name a name. Don't name a name. Murder, suicide. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Their mom. Okay. It's a gun always, right?
It was in that scenario.
It was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's the other problem I have with the murder, suicide.
Yeah, it's
not a gun.
Yeah, it's not a gun. It was belts, right?
Right.
They were hung by belts.
I think if I try to kill my wife, she has a record at her junior high. First of all, I'd have to catch her. She's fast. Mm-hmm. So, like, we would fight.
Yeah.
I would have bruises on me, right?
Yeah.
He had nothing, no bruises on him. No. She had bruises on her.
No, he did have what
it's,
they said.
It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest. It's the weirdest murder suicide.
Yeah.
Usually murder suicides are gun and gun.
They said they were posed like the statue. There's a picture of the statues.
Right.
And they were posed like the statues, they said. Very similar to the statues.
It's like, it is weird, though, ones. That, like, cops who are used to seeing it are like murder suicide, and then another investigation comes in and then they're like double homicide. That's weird. But yeah. You know, the cousin, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I just
but think you think it, it's a
I think
you
it was think a it's rage a double. I was like, I think it was an anger rage thing. Like,
how does it happen? Then explain to me real quick how it happens.
So he gets, I mean, he's devastated at this point. He gets hit. His life is back in the fucking hole again. You know, because he just got hit with, not only does he lose his lawsuit that he thinks is going to be his bread and butter to get him a big chunk of some pharma money, but the insult that he has to pay for his lawyer fees. For a lawsuit he brought up that he thinks is legitimate. Then, on top of it, he throws down all those IOUs and says, now pay him back, bitch. And
so he goes into the house
I think he was smart enough at that point to, and he had enough assets laying around that he could afford, he could take. He said he bought him a Ferrari. It was like, who knows what he had or he bought
to leverage.
He still had cash to leverage somebody to kill him for him and make it say something like, make it look like a murder suicide or something.
So you he know? Kills her first?
No, I think you have to kill the guy first. That's the thing.
And because he comes home, surprises the guy. He wasn't like
she hears it. She goes running and hides in the bathroom. He kills him, and then she's trying to call the police. He gets to her first and kills her. And then he drags her down to the fucking pool and hangs him up on the railing. maybe he was killing him down in the pool. You know, maybe they were down in the basement and he was killing him, and she walked in and okay. runs after her, and she runs and hides in the bathroom, but he gets to her, and that's why she died somewhere else and drags him back. And then I think he just looks good for it because he's the one that got the last person that got screwed the hardest by him, you know. And he was a former crackhead, so it's not like he's a logical thinker, but he's a crackhead with money now, so
okay.
he can, you know what I mean, he can afford to have somebody do it.
Well, so it's not a, so you think it's a double homicide? And you think,
but I don't know, man. The more I think about it, the more I think that he probably did it himself, because he didn't even. And I think it was just like
he didn't murder his wife, and then
I think it was a rash
himself.
I think that Carrie went to the house to confront him about this shit,
and it went down.
And then Honey came down and to the commotion, and he had to off her too. And then, because he didn't have an alibi. If you're going to have somebody kill somebody, you set up an alibi. That's the main part of it. It's the main reason you're having somebody else do it, so you can be seen somewhere else. So since he didn't have an alibi, it just makes sense that he was a rash thing, spur of the moment. So I'm changing it. I think he did it himself.
Okay.
I think he went there with anger, like he said he was. He said he wanted to kill him. He said all kinds of shit like that. And I think he went there and that's what happened. I think he got so fucking angry. I think the guy, because you can hear, when you hear him talk, when you hear his friends talk about him, when you hear him in his interviews, even in that deposition, there's a little cold.
Yeah.
Just cold, crass, harsh reality guy that just says things that are like, you know, they're going to hurt you. If you think you have this relationship with him, and he sets you straight on that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you're nothing to me. You know what I mean? And even if I warned you not to come after me, blah blah blah, you know. So yeah, I think I see him getting fucking pissed, and I see him. At first, I think he tied him up. And I think he, at that point, he fucking killed him. And Honey walked in on it.
Okay. All right.
Because the thing is that murder-suicide, I'm saying that's not even a possibility.
I agree. The way they were killed.
Yeah, the way they were killed, and because of the things he did. He sent that email that he does every night. Who gives a shit about your company if you're going to kill your wife and kill yourself? You know, why would you even care about sending that email out? Maybe force a habit, I guess, but still. She had like a normal conversation with a friend, too. Like a short conversation with a friend not long before it happened, too. Like on the phone. And that was her last conversation. So there wasn't indicating anything that was going on between the two of them that would have came to such a head that he would kill her and kill himself, right? Hmm. And if you think about, like, yeah, Big Pharma, they got better ways to come at you than just kill you, you know what I mean? Because you have value.
Alive.
And they can't take that value from you if you're dead. That value gets devalued really quick when you die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree with that a little bit.
You know, well, because if you own a company and the owner of the company dies, everybody
even
knows
if they that say they're not going to pay you, you can freeze assets. There's ways to do. Right. All right.
So
I'll take that.
So I think that his buddy was saying, he was like, they were trying to do stuff like plant kiddie porn on him and have him get busted with put cocaine in his trunk just to give him a black eye. Because
I mean, John DeLorean, that was his. That's what happened to him.
Yeah.
They planted, like, he was full on entrapment.
Yep.
All right, I'll take that. I'm going to get a little bit different. Okay. I think it's Honey's problem.
Oh, yeah?
She, so in court documents, she was speaking out against Muslim fundamentalists. And she was part of like some organization that they were, this goes to a lot of it, that she had been doing this for a while. They were targeting financial institutions and taking their money away. I think it's a double homicide.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a murder-suicide. Right. But I think it's very well executed. It's like Austin Powers. You know, my father was crazy. He said he invented the question mark. It's so genius that either a crackhead did it or a well-trained assassin did it. You know what I mean? There's no in-between.
All right.
So, I like your theory. Honestly, your theory fits right in with my theory. However, in this ruling, or in this court document, they're talking about she was working as these fundamentalists, and her belief was that if they could freeze assets, it would kill a lot of these terrorist organizations. She'd been working on this for a long time. And I think this was a problem for Barry. Because I think guys have to get their hands dirty sometimes. And either Barry's used to dealing in this kind of thing and there's no room for race or religion. He doesn't care. He cares about money.
Money.
So maybe he did tell Kerry to kill his wife. Maybe that is true. And maybe he did call it off. And maybe he did feel like people were coming after him. But it was the wrong people. Like you said, Big Pharma can come at you different ways. They will absolutely kill you if you make an engine that runs on strawberry jelly, right? If it runs on a teaspoon of strawberry jelly and you can get 5,000 miles to the gallon, you're dead, right? You're absolutely gonna. But he wasn't doing that.
No.
He was making some knockoff pills, which if you take Barry out of it, there's another company. The guy was being investigated.
His rival company
is like, yeah, dude. I mean, he's like, if you take Barry out, there's still another company that's going to come up. So you're never getting rid of those people. So the Big Pharma aspect kind of really doesn't play for me because I don't really, that it's, it's too, like...
Not that I don't think they're capable of it.
Oh, they absolutely could do it.
I just don't think it's, like, there's scenarios where you, like, especially with his how big of a standing they knew he had, you know?
Right.
How big of a face he was. They're not, you know, that's treading in really murky water there.
And he had weird acquaintances. He totally did. He did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they don't really have that...
Epstein vibe?
Yeah. This was somebody that knew how to kill somebody so that it takes 30 years for them to find out who you are. Yeah. I mean, obviously there's no DNA. So I think when they say the person of interest is in the video,
I wonder how that does it. I guess DNA is DNA. I'm like, how does it work with family? Is it harder to tell?
No, they're not family. Him and Honey aren't family.
No, I'm talking about.
Right, but if he punched family,
they killed both of them.
So, of course, his DNA is going to be all like your DNA is going to be all over your wife. You kiss her and whatever.
Yeah.
Right. You guys, you talk to her. Right.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is like, wouldn't that give
the new DNA
an alibi on that aspect where you'd be like, well, I've been there 1,000 times. I've been in their house. I've touched everything. You know,
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. But they would have to. I mean, you'd have to go through all the different people, the gardeners, the people they're training that day, the plumbers, the contract. You know, you'd have to go through all, which they didn't.
Eliminate everybody.
You can't. Yeah, you couldn't. They did. They obviously didn't. I think Honey caused them to get killed. I think
that's believable. I mean, those organizations do have far reach, and they do not
fuck
like,
yeah, man.
They don't like loud mouths. You know, it's funny as South Park when they did that episode where they did like the it was like the Justice League, but it was all the religious leaders.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There was one religion they left out.
Yeah.
Because you can't depict that guy in a cartoon. And the Trey Parker and Matt Stone said that they were like, because usually they're like, they were anything that the producers come to them and say, hey, you can't do that. They're like, fuck off. You know what I mean? We're doing
so
it.
Her
and he
sister
said that the producers came to him and had a conversation with him about that. And they were like, you cannot put that in there. And he was like, they were like, no, fuck that. We're doing it. Everybody else is in there. We're putting them in there too. And they were like, and he was like, what's good? And he said that he had this look on his face and he was like, and it stopped him in his tracks. And he goes, what's going on? And he said that the staff felt threat, that like that this would threaten their lives.
Okay.
And they said, I understand that and we'll back off. And they left Muhammad out.
Yeah.
So there's like a real fear about that, like, because it's.
Here's a quote from Honey's sister. There are a lot of people of a certain ethnicity group going through the house at a certain time, and Honey would use phrases that were not politically correct. Huh. She probably called them "fill in your Muslim slang" here, right? But she probably was a dick about it. And, you know, when you're rich, you don't care. I do know that. I do know that people that are fuck you rich, not no thank you rich. No thank you rich is like, I have enough money, I don't need to do that. Fuck you rich is like, fuck you, man. This is what I think. And he had a problem with her, and I honestly think, I really think this, it had nothing to do with him not liking her. It had everything with her to do with her not shutting up.
And so you think that
because she couldn't keep her mouth shut, they got murdered.
Okay. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on yours.
Okay.
Okay. From empirical evidence, from you know, experience, usually if it's a group like that that does something like that, they want credit for it. They want.
I'll give you that.
No,
I'll give you that.
They did it, and that's what happens to people.
But she had gone to these lectures about.
Usually, not they're not shy about saying we did this. Is what I'm saying.
She went to these lectures, and one of them, she said, quote, it's about stopping money from getting into Muslim fundamentalists' hands. If the money is cut off from their hands, they can be bankrupt, therefore they cannot be used for terror. This wasn't like an idea. This was something she really was hell bent on, and Barry was funding it. And for something like that, you don't claim responsibility for that, because then that really does make, then you have no basis of an argument, you know. Then it's like, well,
yeah, but that's never stopped them before, because they could just propagandize afterwards. It's easier to say sorry than ask for permission type thing. You just go afterwards and you, hey, look over here. This is what's happening.
Yeah. But like you said about South Park, by not claiming responsibility, you do see that there's a genuine threat, and it stops that conversation.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
I don't know, man. It's 2022. That's like one of the latest things. It's like in the documents. It's one thing they're investigating. It says it comes from a foreign country as part of some sort of treaty, that there's information. What country? Like, what country are you talking about? What like, is Palestine? Is it like Saudi Arabia? What? Where is it? And I, you know, like, we're talking about abandoned mansions. There's an abandoned mansion in Florida of the Bin Ladens. It was Bin Laden's brother. He's like his fucking, I don't know, 36th oldest brother, whatever. He had 72. They had 72 kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of his brothers was here. He's a contractor. He has this mansion. The night of 9/11, they fucking, the government, the FBI, CIA, they all raid his house. They take, and they set up a perimeter. They say, get all your shit. You are leaving. They're in trouble. But they say, get all your shit. You have to leave. Somebody's gonna murder you here. Especially in Florida. Like, and you're in like a weird part of Florida. Like, you're for real gonna get murdered, right? And they all just left. And they had already, you know, like, those guys are so rich. They just, like, you know, everything's paid. So the grounds, the taxes are paid into perpetuity. You know what I mean? It comes out of an account. They probably even forgot it exists. That's why it's still there. Like, they can't even tear it down because the fucking property taxes are paid.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think this is...
Once again, it must be a nice life when you can forget that you're right? paid. Like, oh, yeah, I'm paying $10 million a year for this.
But I do know, like, working in Beverly Hills, there is, like, a very concerted effort by the Jewish community, and rightfully so, you know. Fuck. They're the way they see it is our ammunition. Like, we look at it, we're Americans, we're like, fuck it, man, we'll fuck fight you. Okay, mm-hmm. But the Jewish people, they've already been fighting. They've never stopped fighting. Mm-hmm. And they look at it like, fuck it, man. We're going to make as much fucking money as possible and just keep everybody the fuck away from us. And that's all it is. It really is all it is. They're just trying to keep everybody away from them. And I know, like, I'll probably get canceled because I'm not pro-Palestine. Yeah. But, like, even that, like, that goes back to, like, redrawing lines after World War II and all that shit. Like, you have to actually know the history to understand why that even happened.
Mm, yeah.
So, like, yeah, man, I think this is what happened. I think she pissed off the wrong person, and that's why he wanted her dead.
Hmm.
I think he totally asked the cousin.
Yours
and
is
I
way
think,
more elaborate and interesting than mine, but I think
yeah, but did it. But I know, but, like, the crackhead makes it's what did I say? It's either a crackhead or it's somebody that's super skilled, right?
Yeah, because they just dip, you know? They're like, oh, shit, I killed two people. You dip.
I'm out. Right.
Mouth.
And they just disappear.
They just slink off into the night.
But it's definitely not a murder suicide. It's definitely a double.
I just like if you watch. It just gave me that. If you watch the interview with him, he's just that vibe is just oozing off of him.
Then
like,
why isn't he in jail?
Because he fucking ain't got no evidence against him.
Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
It makes it, but who knows if like the who knows if like he was part of the Liberal Party and they've not been very favorable to police.
I mean, you know the guy
they might be like, we know this crackhead did it, but fuck this guy. He wanted to fuck it, you know what I mean?
You know the Idaho murder, right? The Idaho murders.
Mm-hmm.
The four kids in Idaho that were in college and they got murdered.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. He left a sheath for his knife.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that there was trace DNA on it. Okay. Well, he's like, I was in the house. I've been in that house. So his defense is like, yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. He has a knife like that, but he was in that house before. So, yeah, there could totally be trace DNA. Because now they're saying any time you've ever been in a place, your trace DNA can go. So, like.
Yeah.
Either.
So that's one of those things where he'd be like, he'd say, I was there quite often, you know?
Absolutely. Or. They have all these other DNA profiles that they can't match to anybody because they're gardeners, carpenters, plumbers, electricians,
house cleaner,
all of it, right?
And you got to think about that too. They house cleaners keep that place fucking pretty
absolutely
clean.
Absolutely. Bleach and shit that kills DNA. All right, well, I think we're solid on it's a double homicide and we're split on who did it.
Right.
Right. I'm good with that.
I think it's a little simpler. I think it was just like a act, an act of, I think it was an intimate. See, because there's another thing too we didn't mention was they were prone to leaving doors and windows unlocked in their house.
I did not read that.
And even the realtor had said that she had noticed several windows and doors that were unlocked as she was showing the house. But she was like, that's not uncommon because they were known to do that. And like the kids had said the same thing. Like they were known to.
Now, windows is a crackhead.
Certain windows and doors unlocked. So.
Windows is a crackhead move.
Yeah. And what if he was just going in there to go see if he could steal some cash or some goods or something from him? You know what I mean? And got caught doing that. You know, because he's just the crackhead cousin at that point. You know?
Well, supposedly they have
a breaking in the house, you know. He could be that family member that, you know, breaks in your fucking house and steals your shit, man. It's like
we all have one.
We got one, you know. He could totally be that guy, you know. He could have been doing that night and got caught, and then the whole argument about the lawsuit ensues, and he goes into a rage and kills the guy, you know. So I don't know. And then, like I said, and then Honey comes and finds him, comes up on it, and she tries to run away, and he's got a. Chase her down, choke her out. And I think like he might have been like so angry he was like talking to him because they said that there was ligature marks on their wrists. Like they had been tied up with zip ties. So it sounds like somebody was talking to him. You don't tie somebody up to kill him. You know, you kill him.
Yeah, I hate that movies where they're like, and you know why I did it? They're like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Let me explain everything. Monologue. Well, But I think maybe there was. Maybe it was like he had them there and they could like barely breathe. And he was like, how does it feel to be Supke? You know what I mean? He could have been doing this whole dramatic thing with them.
All right.
Because he had them in a position where they were like slowly choking. You know what I mean?
So we're definitely, it's not a murder-suicide. We're both in agreement. It's a double homicide. Yeah. You think it's more the crackhead? Yeah, and I think it's something a little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
So we could be split on that. Yours
sounds like the movie version, and mine sounds like the fucking the throwaway. The
probably the truth.
Yeah.
All right, I'm good with that.
All right.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Mario.
And this is Everything That's Weird. For show notes and merchandise, go to www.everythingthatsweird.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And be sure to like, subscribe, and review anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to contribute, please go to our Patreon page at Everything That's Weird. Check us out on Instagram at Everything That's Weird or Twitter at ETWPod. Or if you'd like to send us an old-fashioned email, go to everythingthatsweird@gmail.com.